Let's get further thoughts on clearly developing story, if not so much about Ito's ending, but the implications of the end and who takes the credit for turning this entire mess, really, because that's what it was and is, around. Advocate Stephanie Fick is with me, Executive Director of the Accountability Division at Outer. Stephanie, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. I have only a pleasure.
Thank you. So let's break this down in terms of some of the things first which the Premier said, right? He first spoke about the user pay principle. You know, if you use something, you pay for it. So now e-tolls have ended. There's still some question marks about users needing to pay. Your thoughts on that?
The user pay principle might be in principle not a bad idea, but aren't we all paying, using and paying? So with regards to the user pay principle in terms of e-tolls, where else in the country have they implemented this? So it's only Gauteng. Gauteng is considered to be the economic hub of South Africa. I mean, it contributes to South Africa's GDP, I think it's 33%, more than Cape Town and KwaZulu-Natal combined. And then we must understand, everybody in this country is a taxpayer, and that part of what you pay goes to the fiscus, and then the fiscus is supposed to look after the interests of South Africa. So there might be reasons where user pay is applicable, but in Gauteng, where they try to get 34% of their income from 1% of their road services. The GFIP upgrade was 200 kilometers. Sunroll is in charge of 24,000 kilometers. Where else do they use the user pay principle? So it is, except for the boom down tolls, the long distance tolls. And it's not as if they get funding from the fiscus for the upgrades of their roads. So I do think it is, one needs to unpack that a little bit more than just to say, if you use it, you must pay it. Of course, we all pay.
Okay, and on the issue of, there's vagueness about this, right? So those that have been billed in the past, I know the Premier in conversation with me said that they need to, you know, the Gauteng has to pay something, national government has to pay in terms of the organization that put this whole thing up in the first place. That means the debt must still be paid. But do the consumers, in this case, the drivers in the city of in the cities that make up Gauteng, do they still need to pay for things they've been billed for before? Or is that history?
I don't think so. I think, and specifically for the upgrade and the maintenance, yes, there should be maintenance. And somehow look after the national roads pretty well. It's the provincial and local government roads that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And as the minister has said, they only have 50 billion. Is that a question of user pay, or is it a question that we do have enough money coming into the fiscus, is how we spend it? So maybe we should go look and not put the blame before, Gauteng and the motorists that should pay. It is about, I think, that trust deficit with government, that government is not spending our money where it should be spent.
Okay, but I just want to make this very clear. In terms of Gauteng only and the e-tolls that have now ended, if you've been billed already for using the e-tolls in the last few years, do you still need to pay for if you get sent an invoice or a bill for that or not?
No, you will. The billing would have stopped at midnight today.
Right.
So today we are e-tolls free.
Right.
People with e-tax, there's probably that it takes a while for the money to get deducted on the. So there might be, I think the minister said around 7 days. It didn't sound like Sunwall was very sure how long the clearing of the account takes. But from now on, no one has to pay. If we are talking about the historic debt,
yes,
it is a question of, if you were brave enough to say, I'm not paying for this because it's a corrupt scheme, cost too much, unnecessary, why would you pay now?
Well, okay.
What has changed?
Let's move on. I think
point
taken, right? If citizens did that in the first case, why would they turn around now to want to pay for something and make it a viable proposition in the first place, right? Okay, let's talk about the other thing. There's been a big debate about government, or in this case, the Gauteng province, celebrating the end of e-tolls. I mean, do you find that the celebration out of order? Because it shouldn't be a celebration. In fact, they succumbed to something that was actually clearly not working.
You know, if you read my gut answer tells me that this is probably part of a bit of electioneering. You can go and check. You know, every time that there was some type of good news about ETOL was just before elections. I really feel strongly about it that government actually should apologize to everybody, but specifically helping motorists for this ill-conceived scheme. You know what? It really cost us double to upgrade that road because Sanral was unable to curb the corruption and curb the construction collusion and all of that. They actually owe us an apology.
Okay.
But will we ever get it? No. So I really think that instead of saying to say, yes, maybe this wasn't handled appropriately, so we listened and now we're putting it off because it is not a system that is working, they were forced to put it off. With a compliance rate of 11 to 10%, I mean, honestly, they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They were forced to do this.
Well, look, Ponyaza Lesufi, the minister, the premier in this case, didn't apologize. So I didn't ask him to apologize, but he did concede this part. He didn't concede this when I spoke about, he agreed that this reflects a government disconnection from its constituency. And he said, yes, that's true.
Yes. You know, I want to use one example. I think it is in London where they started tolling the people using cars because what they wanted to do is move away from cars in the mid-city and people to use trains. So they make sure that trains were accessible to people. And you know what? The people bought into that idea. So there was consultation. People understood that there was a trust relationship. So people left their cars, they travel with train. What were they trying to accomplish with the user pay principle specifically in 200 kilometers of Sunwell's roads? And it is that, you know, that trust that as if they had it, really what I think came across is we made a decision, we wanted this, and we honestly did not care what you thought about it.
Mm.
So instead of listening, instead of right at the beginning with Wayne and the team, you know, and other civil activist organizations trying to converse with government, trying to give them other solutions, and they just refuse to listen. And I think that is the lesson that they should learn. So you were quite right by pointing that out.
Well, I mean, yes, so he conceded about disconnection, then he conceded at the end that Outer and church groups and other political parties and other activists played a huge role, including, he said himself, he said he also opposed e-tolling, and I think he did do that, right? Do you think enough credit has been given to civil society, including Outer, for their role?
Well, you know what? Every time people ask me this, of course, you sit with a team at an organization like Outer that is extremely passionate. It started with ETOS. Passionate about looking after, the rights of South Africans, fighting against later on against corruption, etc. So, would we like to have, be patted on the back? No, not really. I don't think activists are doing that for that. What I would like to see is that there is some type of congratulations for the motorists, for ordinary citizens that stood up and said, you know what, I'm going to be brave enough. Being part of civil disobedience for the right reasons, and that there should be some kind of acknowledgement for the fact that, you know what, power to the people.
Mm.
And it's because of brave individuals that we always
point made. And therefore, just to answer this in 30 seconds, right, then we wrap up. What is the big takeout in terms of the overall impact of civil society? And you've sort of touched on it already, you know, going forward.
It's incredible, incredible. I think civil society needs to understand that they have the power. I think there was a stage in our history where because of the winnings and because of democracy, I think we sort of sat back and said, maybe we don't have to fight anymore. And we took off our eyes off the ball. Never, never again should we do it. It is extreme. We played an enormous part in state capture and all of that. And we can never, ever, ever forget the power at civil society.
We have the power even when there's no power, like load shedding. Thanks for that conversation, Advocate Stephanie Fick, Executive Director of the Accountability Division at Outer, talking about who has the power. Well, who has the power?